Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When my older brother asked my sister-in-law to marry him, it did not take them long to decide that they wanted a family friend of hers to be the flower girl. She was a young girl with a great spirit, great smile, and cute as can be. When I met her, it made perfect sense why they chose her for such an esteemed role. Unfortunately, not long after they asked her to be part of the wedding, she received tragic news from the doctor. He found a sizable tumor in her brain that was inoperable. They could not remove it for the strong likelihood of hurting her in other ways. But because they could not remove it, she was given the prognosis that she was not long for this world. She would be dead before the wedding. As you might imagine, the family and many others were devastated. The girl was very young, and her life, as she had a huge deal of life ahead of her. To have her smile diminished seemed like blasphemy, and the thought of her joy being lost to the world was nothing but utter tragedy. Without any other options available, and with the overwhelming, heart-wrenching love of parents for their child, the little girl was saturated in prayer. Everyone who knew her prayed that she be saved from this cancerous growth. And then they prayed some more. And then they prayed some more. On and on they prayed and prayed. And then they prayed some more. What else could they do, really? Prayer was the only treatment left for this young, heartbroken family. And they did not shy away from using it. A little while later, they returned to the doctor and received the most unexpected news. Not only had the tumor shrunk, it had disappeared completely. Though she had only received love, hope, and a mountain of prayer as a treatment, the flower girl-to-be had a brain that was tumor-free. She had been freed from the evil that had been growing between her ears, seeking to rob her from life. Doctors were so astounded at this unexplainable situation that they desired to study her brain to figure out how she might have come through this so miraculously. But the family declined. They had made it to that point without the help of doctors. They were not interested in asking for it then. Her smile continued to be wide and bright, her joy surreal and her family intact. And sure enough, she got to carry her bright, beaming smile down the aisle at my brother and sister-in-law's wedding, just like she promised she would do. The Lord works in mysterious ways. In our first lesson for this week, we hear about another healing story and its aftermath. In the lead up to the passage, we read in Acts about a man who was unable to walk from the time that he was born. He did not know what it is to run around with other kids, did not know what it is to take a stroll with his first crush, or even know what it is like to go about his daily business on his own. He knew how to live life without the power of his legs. Actually, it seems like he did a pretty good job of getting by in spite of his limited abilities. But he had never known what it was like to walk through life on his own. When we encounter the man in the third chapter of Acts, he was being carried into the temple like he was every day so that he could beg for alms from those entering God's holy house. He was there to live out his day like he lived every day, hoping for and relying on the generosity of strangers. Yet this day was not like every other day. On this day, he asked Peter and John, direct followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, for money to help him get through the day as though they were regular men, like any other who passed by that way. Instead of handing him coins, though, they were about to give the man a gift beyond his wildest dreams. When the man who could not walk begged them for alms, Peter responded and said, "Look at us." When the man did, Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And Peter reached down, took the hand of the man who had never taken a single step in his whole life. The man stood up by his own power to not only walk, but we read that the man began leaping and praising God. I imagine I would jump for joy if I received a miracle like that too. The man who had never even stood up on his own was jumping up and down like a pogo stick. The Lord works in mysterious ways indeed. I share these stories to share that the Lord heals. Healing may not come when we want it. As grateful as the family was that their daughter was healed from the tumor, I imagine that they might desire it never have entered her brain in the first place. It is likely that the man who spent years unable to stand up and gallivant around prayed more than once that the Lord restore his legs before the moment the disciples showed up. Yet, these stories still show us to this day that there is healing that transcends what we can expect or explain. When the Lord decides to heal, there is no ailment, no injury, no infection or paralysis that can get in the way. The Lord's healing is sure, certain, and miraculous when it comes. It defies earthly expectation when it arrives and reveals otherworldly truth and power, which is the true goal. And that is where our passage from Acts begins this week, with Peter declaring that this was not their doing at all, but the work of the God of their ancestor Abraham, and the work of the risen Jesus. The healing was not about the two disciples having faith powers to do cool things, even though the healing was kind of worthy of a comic book superhero. The healing was about revealing that God worked in and through the man that they had executed, and proclaiming that now he had risen from the dead, he was still doing miraculous things in our world. The whole healing scene took place in Jerusalem and at the temple where Jesus caused quite a stir in his last week on earth. Presumably, at least some people around Solomon's porch that day remembered the crowd calling for Christ's crucifixion. And it is likely that some of them joined in shouting the very words, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" These were the words that caused Pontius Pilate to relent and release Barabbas instead of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, as this man emerged from his mat, they were seeing the power of that same risen Jesus of Nazareth at work. A truly humbling experience. This is what these miraculous healings are all about. pointing us to higher realities that transcend our human frailty. As we carry our scars through life, contemplate cycles of tragic news every week, and live our lives knowing that some will never be free from their cancer, and others will never walk again. Still, we are shown that there is a God who has risen from the same human condition to bring us to new life. There is no ailment, injury, accident, diagnosis, or anything else that can keep us down forever. God will lead us to rise from the mats that we were carried in on, so that we too may stand up, take a few steps, and then start leaping and praising God with a miraculous joy, unlike anything we have known before. May the Lord work these mysteries in our lives too. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.